that when the final draft, which was unveiled only in 1929, though to start a policy that was already beginning to be underway, the targets for what had to be achieved in this first five-year plan period were almost mythical ideals. They proposed in this period of 5 years to quadruple the amount of electricity produced in the Soviet Union, to triple the amount of iron and steel manufactured, and also on top of all that, to increase the production of consumer goods, even while expanding in all areas of heavy industry. In fact, most economic historians looking at these written plans agree that the targets of the first five-year plan were completely impractical. There was simply no human way one could achieve such goals. In fact, to quote one well-known economic historian, he writes, "In the absence of divine intervention, it's hard to imagine how these goals could have been achieved." However, from the point of view of the enthusiasts of this industrial revolution from above, and especially from the point of view of Stalin himself, the plan wasn't impossible enough. Very soon after this plan was unveiled, its target figures were raised even further. Then, for good measure, at the end of 1929, it was decided to fulfill the five-year plan and all of its targets, not in 5 years, but in 4 years. And on top of this, further amendments kept coming, raising the targets. And on top of this still, the goal was not just to achieve these absolutely impossible goals, but everybody should try to over-fulfill the already impossible plan. One could hardly underestimate the hubris in all this, the sort of utopian, mythic thinking. Everything was possible. For example, geography itself, nature itself, was to be remade with huge industrial sites and massive dams and huge canals. Rivers were to be rerouted. People, too, it was said, should be remade in the midst of this industrial revolution, or in the vocabulary of the time, people should be reforged or rebuilt. To quote, for example, from a 1931 pamphlet on the building of a massive steel factory in the Ural Mountains, it said, "It's not only the mountain and the steppe that are being rebuilt. Man himself is being rebuilt." In fact, when looking at all this, one could fairly argue that the first five-year plan was not, in fact, in any way a real economic plan, not a guide to actual investment and desired outputs. The first five-year plan really, in many ways, was a political manifesto. It was a call to heroic struggle. It was designed to inspire people to greater and greater accomplishments. In fact, the whole atmosphere of this first five-year plan reflected this, one might describe as the politicization of economics. And typical of Bolshevism, especially of Stalin's variety of Bolshevism, this meant the militarization of economics, evoking a revolutionary war. Thus, the press typically talked about industry as a sort of battlefield, talked about fronts, the steel front, the electricity front. It talked about campaigns, and when things were achieved, it talked about a breakthrough, as if this was a war. Shock troops, as they were called, shock troops of workers, were put together and rushed to a particular factory or a construction site in order to fulfill or even overfulfill goals. Many young people, again, as during the Civil War, young communists volunteered, or in many cases were encouraged to volunteer, to work on these huge projects such as the Magnitogorsk metallurgical factory in the Urals, or huge dams that were being built to generate electricity. And these volunteers considered themselves, or at least were treated officially, as heroic fighters on the industrialization front. Finally, completing the picture of this militarization of economics, turning it into a revolutionary war, those who urged more rational policies be adopted, things that made more sense economically, or people who failed in their tasks, and many people did, needless to say, were treated as if they were traitors in wartime. They were fired, they were often arrested, they were condemned as what was called bourgeois wreckers. Even if they were workers, by definition, they were bourgeois if they opposed this industrialization effort, and many were sent to prison camps in these years. Now, the economic results of this revolution in economics from above were mixed.